Hello, Star Wars Ties listeners. This is Jameson. And before we begin this episode that is a farewell to the great Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca for so many years, I wanted to apologize that some of the comments that were made on our Facebook page did not make it into the actual episode because they were posted after we recorded. However, I wanted to go ahead and include them here before the episode actually starts to thank you that have contributed through Facebook as far as feedback is concerned, and of course to encourage the rest of you to make sure you reach out to us through our email or through Facebook or hopefully through the hotline that we're going to be setting up soon so that we can include you in these podcast episodes that we enjoy recording and of course enjoy hearing from you, which is part of the reason we do it to begin with. So once again, these comments were made on a post that I shared on the Facebook page discussing the honor of course, Peter Mayhew and his passing. And in memory of him, as I discussed in the episode, Tom Graham and William Cole were both contributed something, which I was able to mention. But Caleb Parham commented a little while later, and Caleb Parham writes, "What would Disney do with a conversation between Chewie and Groot?" And Caleb, I don't have an answer to that, but that would be a very interesting conversation that we'd only hear one side of, which is, you know, Groot. I am Groot. So that would be pretty interesting to see. And maybe they'll give it to us with Jonas as Chewbacca. And Christopher Carlson writes, "Do you know what I like about the Star Wars Christmas special? That it made Chewie a family man. Makes him stand out next to a lot of other heroes of the galaxy and makes the smuggling thing seem like a real job. But you know what I don't like about Chewie the most? That his Shadow of the Empire bounty hunter disguise was not an original character. Like, how awesome would an evil bounty hunter would he be? Especially when you could have them fight. Or have him team up with the bounty hunter Gungan from the Wii version of The Force Unleashed. Remember him? He was awesome. Good day." And Christopher, that's a great point. And actually, if you read the new comics, there is an evil bounty hunter, Wookiee, that makes some appearances in the new Marvel run, as well as, I think, the Dr. Aphra side run series that's currently running. I'm not positive. I'm not following the Dr. Aphra as faithfully as some of the others. But I do know that there is an evil Wookiee or a bad Wookiee or a dark Wookiee bounty hunter out there. So you might be getting that, just not with Chewbacca. So anyway, thank you guys for your comments and listeners. I certainly hope that these comments as well as this episode find you in good spirits, even though it is, you know, about a month, month and a half after Peter Mayhew's passing as we enter into the summer season. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy our farewell to Chewbacca.
It's still not going to be easy to separate
the
character of Chewie from the person of Peter Mayhew.
And I like that point that they're intertwined. Chewie and Peter Mayhew are the same person,
mm-hmm,
to a lot of us.
This is Alan Dean Foster.
And my name is Beth Revis. I'm the author of Rebel Rising, and welcome to Star Wars Ties.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Star Wars Ties. It is with heavy hearts that we are meeting tonight. This is a few days after the sad news that we heard about the late, great Peter Mayhew. And Landon and I are going to be chatting tonight about Chewbacca and maybe some memories and just some favorite moments. But the purpose of this episode is really just kind of be in memory of Peter Mayhew and the fantastic legacy that he left on the Star Wars universe, the Star Wars fandom, and just, you know, the hearts of everyone who loves everybody's favorite Wookiee. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I'd like to welcome my awesome co-host, the man himself, Mr. Lando Fett. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good considering everything that's kind of happened in Star Wars fandom here over the past week. How about yourself?
As best as can be done with that news. You know, it's kind of an up and down roller coaster when you've got Star Wars Day just a few days after such sad news. You're trying to make it high and bright and exciting and celebrate the awesome franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to do that when you've got such a big name that, you know, seems like he's taken from us so soon.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I don't really know how to put it in words. Like, whenever I hear Peter Mayhew, I instantly think Chewbacca. Now, I know he's done some other, you know, other roles and, you know, was in some other movies, but when you think of him, you think of Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And just how iconic that character is, you know. He's Han's, I always considered him kind of the angel on Han Solo's shoulder, saying, "Now, Han, think about this. Let's not rush in too hastily."
Yeah, exactly. For those of you that have been apparently living under a rock and haven't actually heard the news, it was on the Peter Mayhew's Twitter page is what I'm going to be reading this off of. His family took it over very shortly afterwards. On May 2nd, they posted that the family of Peter Mayhew, with deep love and sadness, regrets to share the news that Peter has passed away. He left us the evening of April 30th, 2019, with his family by his side in his North Texas home. And he was born on May 19th, 1944, and he died April 30th, 2019, just about 20 days before he would have turned 75.
Wow.
So, I mean, he wasn't a young man.
No.
75 is a good life, especially for somebody who was in a Star Wars movie. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Multiple Star Wars movies at that. But it's still pretty devastating news. And, I mean, just it is with deep sadness I know that many of the Star Wars fans across the country and across the world are just, you know, still in mourning at this. So it's definitely some powerful news. But let's, like I said, the purpose of this episode is really just to kind of remember Chewbacca and to remember Peter Mayhew. So let me ask you this first. Did you ever meet Peter Mayhew?
I never met Peter Mayhew. He was always one of those, like, kind of bucket list guys. Like, if he was in the area, like, yeah, I would go see him. But, like, I don't think I ever saw him anywhere in this part of the country, you know, recently. And right. I know as he got older, it became harder for him to travel and go to the different meet and greets and different cons, but I never got to meet him, and that was like one thing that I always wanted to do. Just what I've heard of him is he's such a, you know, genuinely nice and caring person to Star Wars fans. You know, he's not gruff. He kind of embraced the Star Wars ambassador
he did.
Role that all the original cast members kind of fell into, it seemed like.
Afterwards, yeah. I did a little bit of digging into some of his older interviews and stuff like that and learned quite a bit about him. He was actually one of the first major Star Wars actors to take on the convention scene and promote the movie, especially when it was kind of in its dark ages in the early to mid-90s and hadn't really taken on the special edition re-releases and all that. And it made me think about it. This is kind of a fish that got away story, I guess.
Yeah.
I actually did see Peter Mayhew in person.
Oh, wow.
This was the only Star Wars convention I've ever been to. It wasn't a Star Wars convention. It was a sci-fi convention because they didn't have only Star Wars conventions back then. But it had to have been in the late 90s, early 2000s when I was in high school. And one of my buddies was like, "Hey, there's this convention up in Greensboro, and there's a lot of Star Wars guys. If you're going to be there, why don't you come up with me, and we'll just go and, you know, check it out?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'll go." And, I mean, you guys, listeners, now it's kind of common knowledge that if you go to a convention, there's chances for autographs, but you have to pay for them. There's chances for pictures, but you got to pay for them. I was ignorant. I had no idea what was going on. All I knew was that, you know, I paid to park or helped pay the parking fees and then paid the admission into the convention. And then I was like, okay, I'm in. At this point, I mean, I'm sure if I'm going to buy a toy or something like that, that's something. But if I wait in line, I had no idea that you had to pay for autographs. So I'm looking, and to the best of my recollection, now you guys have to remember, this is me remembering, which is a dangerous thing.
Oh,
I have about as good of a memory as Rob. I want to say it was Jeremy Bullock, that I know for certain, Peter Mayhew. I'm 90% sure that the third was Warwick Davis.
Oh, awesome.
And then the fourth was a redheaded model that was the physical representation of Mara Jade.
Oh, that's cool.
She actually traveled around and was hired by Lucasfilm, I guess, or whoever, Del Rey, to be the person that was to actually be Mara Jade if you wanted autographs and to sign the figures and stuff like that, or the books that she was in and things like that. And so those were the four Star Wars people, and they were kind of the head of the, you know, they were the stars of the convention. They were the people mm-hmm. you wanted to wait in line to get. And I was checking them out, and I'm like, oh, man, I really want to get an autograph. This would be so cool. And I'm debating between Peter Mayhew, because it's Chewbacca. I mean, come on. It's yeah. Chewie. And Jeremy Bullock. And I regret to say, though, of course, I'm very proud of my Jeremy Bullock autograph, that mm-hmm. I picked Jeremy Bullock because he was the cheaper of the two autographs. I want to say it was like $30 for Peter's and $15 for Jeremy Bullock's.
Oh, wow. Those
They weren't the same price. And it was substantial enough to where I was looking at it. I think, I mean, listeners, this shows you how ignorant I was. I think I took less than $100 of spending money to this convention. So by the time I got in, you know, I probably only had $30 to $50 left. And I'm going, well, you know, I want to buy some collectibles, some toys, a t-shirt. You know, if I'm going to do all that, there's no way I can get two autographs. So I didn't get the Peter Mayhew autograph. I didn't meet Peter Mayhew. And now, of course, I'm like kicking myself in regret.
Yeah.
But I will say that he was massive. The guy was huge.
Yeah.
And I actually saw, like, they did a panel. Like, this, again, I'm thinking back and going, why did, now, as a bigger Star Wars fan and one that's more aware of how this actually works, I'm like, gosh, you were such an idiot. You could have done so many things at the point. But they actually had a Star Wars panel where you could go in and ask questions, and I didn't go in. It was open to anybody that wanted to go. There was no tickets. It was just, that was free. But I was, you know, I was hanging out with the other guy and knocking around, and I was like, I don't know. Do I want to go to the panel? Do I want to go to the panel? But, I mean, as they were walking to the panel, like, Peter Mayhew walked right by me, and I was able to kind of get a view of his height, and it was just like, oh, my gosh. You know, that's the guy that played Chewbacca. He's right there. But that's, again, I never met him. I never spoke with him. I never shook his hand. I never got his autograph. Never got his picture. But I can tell you that I have seen him. And like I said, to this day, I'm kicking myself. But it was just, I always thought, well, you know, I'll go to another convention and I'll get him next year. And, I've, you know, I've never been to one since. And at this point, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, like I said, it was the fish that got away. It's a heartbreak moment, but I know there are a lot of fans out there that have gotten a chance to meet Peter Mayhew. And listeners, if you're one of those fans, relish that, because I think the people that say the same thing about Carrie Fisher in terms of meeting her, it's just one of those moments where you realize that this is a real person. This is, you know, this isn't mm-hmm. some famous actor that, you know, you hold up on a pedestal. It's a real person, and you get the opportunity to interact with them. That's truly special.
Yeah, it's, you know, and when we got the news that he had passed,
mm-hmm.
I immediately thought of Carrie Fisher. I'm like, oh my gosh, so we've lost Princess Leia, and we've lost Chewbacca now.
And we've lost Kenny Baker, who was the original R2-D2.
And we lost R2. It sucks. That's your childhood right there.
It is. I mean, for us, we grew up with these actors being the big names. It would be like, you know, somebody that is in high school now finding out that Chris Pratt died.
Yeah.
You know, he's a huge name in pop culture movies. He was Star-Lord. Mm. He was in Jurassic World. He's now an Avenger. I mean, you know, so it's to that, or the, well, I was about to say, or Groot, but Groot is played by what?
He's Vin Diesel, I think, says
Vin
voice.
Diesel. So, I mean, I guess that's a good example, Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, it's just Peter Mayhew and Carrie Fisher, and I mean, Carrie Fisher was more than a pop icon. She was a nerd's dream in the 1980s, 90s. So, I mean, and Kenny Baker, I mean, just the fact that you knew that there was a person in R2-D2
mm-hmm.
was just awesome. It's just amazing. And I've seen a lot of pictures floating around on social media about, you know, some of the older pictures of, like, Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher, and then Peter Mayhew and Kenny Baker and all them, and the three that have passed away now are blacked out, or they're black and white in a color photo or something like that. And it's poignant. It's very touching.
It hits close to home.
It hits. So, I mean, I must say, it's, like I said, it's devastating to hear. And if you guys have Twitter and get the chance, scroll through and see. You know, a lot of people have posted some really great tributes to Peter Mayhew over the past several days about just how much they truly love him. and love just how amazing he was. Mm-hmm. So
I always enjoyed interviews with him because he genuinely seemed to love playing Chewbacca.
Yeah.
You could tell when he was being interviewed, like his eyes would light up and his voice would get higher and he would get excited, you know, and that's, I mean, I'm not trying to talk bad about Harrison Ford, but like then you see Harrison Ford and he's just kind of, it's a job, you know, I just go out there and do my thing. He was Chewbacca. I mean, he embodied, I guess, the happy side of Chewbacca.
Right. I think he was proud of having created the character.
Yes.
And birthed the whole essence of Chewbacca. I mean, think about it. Jonas has literally studied under Peter Mayhew to figure out how to emulate the mannerisms to make Chewbacca be his own character. And I think that was something that Peter was very proud of. You know, very just honored that George Lucas trusted him enough to kind of make this character his own.
Yeah.
In every way possible. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it truly is just a remarkable thing when you look at it that Peter Mayhew was Chewbacca and Chewbacca was Peter Mayhew. It's going to be very – I mean, we're still going to get Chewie with Jonas in probably several more Disney movies over the course of the next several years, but it's still not going to be easy to separate the character of Chewie from the person of Peter Mayhew.
And – I like that point that they're intertwined. Chewie and Peter Mayhew are the same person,
mm-hmm.
to a lot of us.
And I think I don't even think it was just to us. I think even he viewed it.
Yeah.
I think he valued the role so much that he was willing to allow that merging to happen, while other actors might be like, no, I don't want to be tied to one role. I want to be, and you know, I want to branch myself out as an actor. If I remember correctly, and I'm listeners, please don't, you know, vouch for this 120%. Let me see if I can find proof. But Peter wasn't originally an actor. I want to say he was an orderly for a hospital.
You know, I believe you're correct. I've actually got his, and this is cheating, I know, I've got his Wikipedia page pulled up, and there's a photo of him in the King's College Hospital Department of Radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole staff photo, and there's a picture of him, and like, you can tell that he's standing up because everybody else is like standing on little platforms and they're in rows, and he's like even with the top row, just, you know, standing on his feet.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And he got his first big part in a Sinbad movie, which that's one of my guilty pleasure movies, or like Sinbad movies, like the Ray Harryhausen stop motion. That I thought that was cool that he got his like break as a monster in a Sinbad movie.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Not gonna lie, that's pretty cool.
Those, like I said, those were some of them, me and my dad's like favorite, like guilty pleasure movies as a kid.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, they were funny movies. Sinbad knew how to make it entertaining.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he definitely, I think, valued and understood exactly what it was like to be in a movie as big as Star Wars after it became big.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on, you know, you can't argue that the guy didn't really kind of, I don't want to say milk it. He knew what he mm-hmm. had, and he took the liberty of sharing it with fans. And his wife, for those of you that didn't know, Angie, his wife was a Star Wars fan.
Oh, nice.
And actually a big fan of Star Wars books. And he said, again, I'm knowing all this from an interview that I was listening to. He said that he would let his wife, you know, he'd encourage his wife to read all the Star Wars books because she was going to do it anyway. And then he'd ask for the, you know, the cliff notes
mm-hmm.
from her so that when people asked him questions in like interviews and panels, he could respond and know what they were talking about.
Oh, nice.
So he's like, I never got the chance to read all the books myself, but you know, my wife was a huge fan. So I just let her do all the reading and then she'd just tell me everything and I'd be good to go. So, I mean, just little things like that. You know, not everybody – you don't have to do that as an actor. You don't have to dig in and kind of get that background information, even if you're not doing it firsthand. But still, you know, he didn't have to let his wife share every little detail with him about his character in hopes that he'd be prepared in case one random question got thrown at him, that kind of thing. But nonetheless, he did. You know, it makes me think of that. There's a Big Bang episode. Big Bang Theory episode
mm-hmm.
where Luke Skywalker is marrying, or Mark Hamill is marrying Sheldon Cooper and Amy Farrah Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're stalling to wait for the wedding to start, they're like, well, this is Luke Skywalker here. We can ask him any Star Wars question we want. And people are asking him some of the most obscure questions because, of course, they're all nerds. And Mark Hamill's like, I don't know that. And some of the nerds are answering their own questions. Like, oh, actually, this is when that happens. And it happens in blah, 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 blah. And Mark Hamill's like, well, just ask him the questions. Why are you asking me? You know. Speaking of Mark Hamill, he writes a small tribute to Peter Mayhew. Again, reading off of the Twitter page. He was the gentlest of giants, a big man with an even bigger heart who never failed to make me smile, and a loyal friend who I loved dearly. I'm grateful for the memories we shared, and I'm a better man for just having known him. Thanks, Pete.
Man, that hits you right in the heart.
It does. It really does. So let's take a moment and let's reflect on our Chewie connections here, and what is your favorite Chewbacca memory from of the movies or books? But
probably my favorite is the first time that I watched A New Hope and he's playing the kind of chess game with C-3PO, and he's complaining and he's like, well, it's a perfectly legal move.
And yeah,
Han Solo's like, yeah, you know, but he tells him he's going to rip his arms out, and that's where they come up with the let the Wookiee win kind of thing, and I don't know, that's always kind of just stood out in my mind, that whole scene, like, Chewbacca just kind of laying back there, like, crossing his arms behind his head and just watching.
Yeah, that's a classic scene, and it's just, it shows so much of the pride that Chewie has of being a Wookiee, and, you know, just the stories. Have you heard the stories about Wookiees? They rip your arms out if they lose. You know.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's see. I'm trying to think of the answer to my own question here.
Oh.
I actually think one of my favorite scenes is, it's in A New Hope, is when he barks at the mouse droid and sends it, like, skittering away in the other direction. And then he just kind of looks at Han and goes,
yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Again, just kind of showing his he wasn't a pet character. It's not like having a dog. He was a sentient being. He was conscious. He was thinking. He was intelligent. He could fly a ship, for heaven's sakes. So when he kind of does something that's funny and silly and then just kind of looks at Han and is like, I'm not going to apologize for who I am. It's like, yeah, that's awesome. So we both picked moments out of A New Hope. What about Empire Strikes Back? Did you have a favorite thing in Empire Strikes Back?
Probably Empire Strikes Back. Probably where you get to see that Chewie has a brain and he's rebuilding C-3PO.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And he's got him kind of like half assembled in like fishnet, yeah, carrying him around.
I like it when he chokes Lando.
Yeah.
It's just funny. I mean, you see his loyalty and anything like that. I'm also a pretty big fan of him when he throws the two stormtroopers down in the carbon freezing chamber. Mm-hmm. The moments where he shows his brute force. Again, you get the chance to see his brains with some of the rebuilding of the droids and the chess game and stuff like that. But on the flip side of that, you get to see that he is not weak.
No.
He will
rip your arms out.
All right, what about ROTJ? What about Return of the Jedi?
The fact that he plays kind of the bait in the whole Leia and everyone breaking into Jabba's palace, mm-hmm, thing, coming in as a quote-unquote,
yeah,
prisoner.
Yeah, that's good.
Which he always played that role really well. Like, even in A New Hope, he was really good as being the prisoner of the two,
yeah,
stormtroopers.
He was. Let's see. I have to think about the answer to my own question now in Return of the Jedi. See, the thing is with Return of the Jedi, that once you get to Endor, he kind of becomes a background character.
Kinda. He does still be AT-ST in that.
That's
I did
it.
Like that.
I was trying to think. I know there's something on Endor, and I kept going back to the moment where he like chases the dead animal trap or whatever, and then they all get trapped in the net. That's not my favorite moment, because I always hated that scene, but just because I didn't like all of my heroes trapped in a net. But yeah, when he steals the AT-ST and is like arguing with the Ewoks about how to drive it and stuff like that, that's pretty funny. And then, you know, Han and Leia
cool
are like
scene.
Panic and
kinda opens.
Oh no, we have an AT-ST. Oh, it's just Chewie.
we're all right, we're safe.
Yeah.
That scene is hilarious. He just opens the hatch, and you see, like, the stormtrooper just go, like, flying out of his seat.
That's great. That is. That's a good scene. Did you like Chewbacca in the prequels? The brief scene that he has.
I did. I wish they had used him a little bit more, but it was kind of, I don't know. In one way, I kind of felt, well, they shoehorned him in just to get him in, but in the other way, it's like, well, no, it makes sense because that was his home planet that Yoda was on. Yeah. So,
I mean, it's a planet, so there's a lot of Wookiees, but, you know, it happens to be Chewbacca. The fact that Yoda knows him by name is pretty cool. And then, of course, you've got the Clone Wars connection, which is also, actually, I think, adds to it now, if you think about it, because Ahsoka would have told Yoda probably about Chewbacca. And that actually connects, makes the connection for Yoda to go, well, I have some friends on Kashyyyk. Yeah, you do. You know, you know some people, or some Wookiees. I know some Wookiees. It's kind of like,
I know some Wookiees. I know. Yeah,
it's like, I know somebody in the mob. You know, I know some Wookiees. I got this. You need something handled? I can get some arms pulled out of sockets. We can get them swimming with the fishes.
That's right.
Need them chucked.
Chewbacca can be your muscle.
You need them picked up and just chucked out of an AT-ST. We got you covered. Yeah, the connection back to the Clone Wars definitely makes it a pretty awesome thing. And while Peter Mayhew is not necessarily not a part of it, what do you think about the role in Solo?
I thought that was good. The fact that they kind of stuck to the Han rescuing him story, I thought was cool because Chewie is very dedicated, as you know, he swore the life debt. So, I mean, it just kind of reinforces that it was kind of a dire situation for him there.
Yeah.
And
what I liked about that movie, you know, like I've said it on previous recordings we've done, the more I watch Solo, the more I like it. The first time through, I went into it with a very strong bias, and I regret it now because it really is a very entertaining movie. The development of the friendship between Han and Chewie is very good in that movie. And I really feel like that's the focus of the movie now as I go back and watch it. And if I watch it through that lens, I really enjoy it just because it's really awesome to see how Han is, you know, basically, for lack of a better word, in the bottom of a pit because he literally is. But, you know, he's also just kind of emotionally and physically and everything else. He's hit rock bottom. And it's with Chewbacca that he's able to build up out of it. And that's definitely pretty powerful characteristic. And it makes, in my opinion, the moment at the end, or not the end, but in Force Awakens, when you've got Chewie and Han running up onto the Millennium Falcon and Han going, "Chewie, we're home." It makes that scene all the more powerful because it's not just we're home on the Millennium Falcon. It's we're home. And now that the three of us, the Millennium Falcon, the Chewie and Han are together, it's like the whole big family is back. You know, it's like a family. It makes the relationship between Chewie and Han more poignant throughout the entire series, especially with the conclusion of it in Force Awakens.
Yeah. Oh, Force Awakens. That, you feel so bad for Chewbacca in that scene, too. Because you know he had seen Ben grow up when he was with Han, and he had saw Han basically, you know, I won't spoil it for
several years.
You know what happens to him, and he kind of, if you've
Star
not
Wars
seen
fans,
now,
you haven't seen The Force Awakens by now. Come on now, spoiler alert! But there you go.
Han dies,
and you,
his son kills
and
him.
The reaction that Chewbacca has is just—I mean, it's exactly what you would expect. The vengeful fighting where he's like, he runs through and he's, you know, he fights back harder, you know, his agony of his growls. I mean, it's definitely something. Did you have another favorite moment from any of the Star Wars movies that we've missed that Chewie is actually making an appearance in? I guess The Last Jedi. Can you think of something from The Last Jedi?
Yeah. Really, the only thing from Last Jedi is the fact that, like, he just kind of looks at those porgs and he's getting ready to eat that one. That's what everybody has to say about that one.
Yeah, that's what popped in my mind, too. No, my favorite moment in that one's when he kicks the door in. Luke's hut.
What about
like,
that?
Poof! And Chewie?
Yeah.
Wait, where's Han? But just that whole, like, Knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. Boom! The door flies in. Yeah, that...
That was a very Chewbacca knock, wasn't it?
That's good.
Go away!
Well, I posted earlier today, not very much earlier, only about a couple hours ago, but I posted that we would be talking about Peter Mayhew and asked if anybody had any moments they wanted to mention or comments they wanted to make. And we did get a couple comments, though they're more interpretive than literal. First one is from Tom Graham, and it's a GIF of Leia and Chewie hugging. And I'm looking at it. Does that actually happen in The Force Awakens? I thought the whole big deal was that she never hugs Chewie. She's kind of... No, she hugs him. Doesn't she hug Chewie right when she gets off the shuttle on Takodana?
I think so. I think she hugs him and then he goes and gets patched up and...
Yeah. Now that I think about it, yeah. All right, I don't know if that's that scene or not. But anyway, and then William Culver writes... Gruahar! I think I pronounced that right, William. And interpreting as best as I can. He gives us a nice chewy growl.
Can do a good chewy growl in real life, too. I've heard him.
Yeah, can he? Well, I mean, yours is pretty good. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I'm just kind of half yawn and...
I think and that one that. Was a half yawn.
Goes back to what we were talking about before we got on the air. It's half yawn.
Yeah, we're tired. No doubts there. But, ladies and gentlemen, I think it is safe to say that Chewie and his original actor of Peter Mayhew will definitely be missed. And we will definitely mourn this loss in the Star Wars family over the next several months as we kind of get used to what it's going to be like to not have him traveling from summer convention to summer convention and being just as much of a proponent and encourager of fandom in the Star Wars universe. But nonetheless, it is, of course, something that we can celebrate is the fact that, you know, he lived a very good life. 74 years, almost 75 is a full life. And
that's a
clearly
long time.
He had a lot, you know, going for him. A couple of small facts that you might or might not know about him that I've learned just because I've kind of researched him a little bit. He actually wrote a children's book and published it with his wife, kind of about being accepting of others, especially if they are different, kind of indicating of his size.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, like we mentioned before, he was a hospital orderly before he became an actor. He married a Star Wars fan named Angie. And actually, he is originally from England and transferred his citizenship to the United States. He was a United States citizen and was a resident of the state of Texas for several years before he passed away. So, some small extra facts about Peter Mayhew's life. If you would like to know any more, I'm sure there's a lot of information available on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Wikipedia, you name it. I'm sure you can find information about him online. And we highly encourage you to do so. You know, make sure you you get to know the person that was behind the mask of Chewbacca, because I think that is definitely one thing that we can truly treasure from the Star Wars universe, is that Peter Mayhew was just a wonderful man. And that's definitely something that not all actors get that kind of a reputation, and I think he kept that reputation his whole life.
I agree. He was definitely an ambassador of goodwill for Star Wars, and just, like you said, accepting people as they are, even if they are different.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in other news, we did just have Star Wars Day a few days ago.
Yay!
We are actually recording on May 6th, ladies and gentlemen, so Star Wars Day. Happy May the 4th. May the 4th be with
you. Yes.
Have you done anything Star Wars lately there, Landon, other than, you know, probably watch more of the Episode 9 trailer?
Oh, yeah. We actually watched that during, we went and watched Endgame a couple of Sundays back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they've got the trailer on the big screen. I'm going to watch it here now.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it's sad to say this, and I'm embarrassed, but I am so behind in the Marvel universe that I have not gone to see Endgame. And I probably won't see it for a year.
Oh, dude, don't do that to yourself.
Well, it's just that I mean, I've not seen Doctor Strange. I've not seen Iron Man 3. I've not seen Thor 2 or 3. I've not seen... I actually just watched half of Black Panther last night. It's the first time I've watched it. And I still didn't even finish the movie. I just watched half of it because I got so tired I went to sleep. So, not that it wasn't a good movie. And man, Black Panther had an all-star cast. Holy crap.
You know, I've never watched that one. I need to watch that one.
It's on Netflix right now.
Oh my goodness.
Well, it's how I'm watching it. And it has... It's got Martin Freeman. It's got Andy Serkis. It's got Forrest Whitaker.
Oh, wow.
So it had a great cast. I was impressed. But yeah, I mean, I just picked it because I'm like, I don't know what else to watch. You know, I haven't seen the Ant-Man, let alone the sequel. I haven't seen any of the Spider-Mans since Spider-Man 2. The original Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, that's me too.
So it's like, you know, I am so... And the only Avengers movie I've seen all the way through is Avengers. I've never even seen Age of Ultron. I started it, but I never finished it because it got cut off of whatever streaming service thing I was watching it on before I finished it. And then I've never seen Civil War. I never saw Infinity War. Nope. Saw Captain America and Captain America 2.
That was kind of me. Like, I've just seen kind of the basic, like the core Avengers, but I've not seen any of the other ones.
Yeah.
So, I knew who they were from being a nerd, but...
Yeah, I mean, I know enough. I could probably make it through the movie without being too lost, but at the same time, it's like, you know what? They've kind of veered away from the comics a little bit. I know these characters exist, but beyond that, I don't know anything. I feel like they've kind of made this Marvel movie universe its own entity, even like kind of like they tried to do with the X-Men universe. So I would like to see it in the way that they designed it or they wanted to make it, but I just haven't seen it all yet. So it's on my bucket list. But anyway, we're talking about Marvel, and we're supposed to be talking about Star Wars. I'm sorry.
Well, they're kind of cousins with each other, I guess.
Disney does own both at the moment. But anyway, so you were telling me about things you've done Star Wars lately because of May the 4th.
Let's see. I'm debating on if I should tell this or not. Yeah, I'll go ahead and tell it.
Do it. Do it. Okay.
You're making me reveal deep, dark secrets now.
Oh.
But it's nothing bad. So, I had to work May the 4th, and, you know, we were all, you know, all the folks in our office who are big Disney and Star Wars fans, we were nerding out, and my wife sends me a message and says, hey, check this out. So, there was a brewery in Hendersonville that was having a May the 4th day. They were having costume contest. They were having a band that were doing Star Wars songs and dressing up, and they did a pretty good job. We went. They had a tattoo studio doing Star Wars tattoos, and I kind of went and got my first tattoo ever of Boba Fett. So,
whoa! So that I've got is awesome.
I have a Boba Fett helmet on the back of my right shoulder, and Lori said, "You know," she said, "I've got a tattoo for Lola." She said, "I'm going to get one for you." That's Star Wars. So she got a little girly R2-D2, like, flower design with R2-D2 in the middle, and then the top petal of the flower says Hope on it.
Wow, that is awesome.
So that's what we did on May the 4th.
That's a pretty awesome May the 4th. You're going to have to post some pictures.
I'll shoot you the picture. I'll have to let my mom know. Like, I'm like, my mom doesn't even know this yet.
Yeah, oh, so. Well, don't worry. By the time that I release this, your mom should know.
She'll know by then, yeah. But when we release this one, I'll put the picture up of what it ended up looking like on there.
Cool. That's awesome. That's fantastic. I did not get to spend much on May the 4th Star Wars related. My wife had a family reunion, and it was a great time to spend with family and more time chasing my kids around a park, playground, and stuff like that. So I was very exhausted, so I didn't get to do a whole lot of celebrating of Star Wars. But I did get to finish The Empire Striketh Back.
Ooh, yeah.
So I have now read both of the Shakespeare Star Wars that I have, which is the original and The Empire Striketh Back. And I must say, I thoroughly enjoyed The Empire Striketh Back. Ian Dosher really outdid himself and just makes me want to interview him even more and more, just because he did some really funny stuff in the second one that was just great. One of the coolest was I figured out what he actually did with Yoda to make him different.
Hmm.
And it's not a spoiler. He ends up telling you in a couple of interviews. But he decided that since Yoda is portraying a very sensei-ish kind of role, that Yoda only speaks in haiku.
Oh, that is so cool. I like that.
And he's like, I know that haiku, for those of you that are Shakespearean purists, I know that haiku is not, you know, a Shakespearean style of poetry. It didn't exist in Shakespeare's time, or at least not in Shakespeare's world. But it felt right because it kind of ties into, you know, the whole Japanese samurai essence of, you know, the interest that was Star Wars from, or influences on Star Wars from George Lucas. And he said, but I would also like to point out that it's like a 5-7-5 haiku, which is not a traditional haiku, but mm-hmm. he did it anyway.
Hey, that's all right.
Like, but it works for the lines. So I went through and read, and I mean, it's great. And on top of all that, the Wampa gets a speaking part.
See, I like that.
The Exegarth, which is the space slug that tries to eat the Millennium Falcon, he gets a speaking part. There's a scene on Bespin where you've got two guards that kind of pull off. It's very much like the original Shakespeare Star Wars, kind of a tag and bink moment.
Mm-hmm.
But they're talking about like the architectural phenomenon that is these chasms beside walkways in Empire architectural plans, and they're questioning why they even exist. So I mean, he outdid himself. It was great. So it's truly worth reading, readers. If you get the chance, check out the awesome Shakespearean Star Wars by Ian Dosher. And soon, I promise, listeners, soon we will be interviewing him and setting that up. I'm going to try to do it this summer. I want to make sure Rob's on there, since he's kind of the English major. It would be very inappropriate for us to interview him without having somebody who theoretically has read more of Shakespeare than either of us.
That's right.
So, I feel obligated to do that. So before we leave tonight, let's kind of talk about the future of Star Wars Ties.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and be honest with you. As fun as our Spring of Heroines series was, I think the three episodes that we have released, technically four if you count Rey and the Star Wars trailer, though I didn't really count it as that when we did it, were a great start for a theme. But unfortunately, with the time that we have left, we're very much fast approaching summer. So it seems only fair that for the summer months, June, July, and August, maybe the end of May, since Memorial Day is the unofficial start of summer, we are going to do a theme for the summer months. And Landon, I think I've talked with you about this already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at doing a summer of Stormtroopers.
I like that.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be trying to dig into a lot of different things. If I can plan it out, I'm going to sit down with a calendar and try to plan when we'll record and when I'll release, and maybe actually follow through with my recording schedule and release schedule in the summer months this year. Hopefully it'll be true. But there's a book out there that's a Legends novel called Death Troopers.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've heard of that.
It takes place, I think, on a prison planet or a prison ship, and it's about stormtroopers that basically become zombies because of some virus.
Ooh.
So I really kind of want to read that. That looks really cool, and it gives it, you know, it'd be an old canon book to kind of dig into. In addition to that, I've mentioned this before, in the Marvel comic series, there's a 3 or 4 comic story arc that starts with a focus from the perspective of a stormtrooper, which I think would be really awesome.
That's pretty cool.
And then, you know, of course, we can talk about movies. We can talk about the different types of troopers that are out there. We could always do some of the – we could advance beyond just stormtroopers if we wanted to, and maybe talk about some of the Republic Commando books from the old canon. But if not, you know, we can talk about the Battlefront game where you get to play as a stormtrooper. There's a lot of different places and directions that we can go in the episodes that we'd be recording over the summer, which I'm really excited about. So that's kind of the direction that I'm looking at going. I'm looking at pulling in books and comics and just giving us a chance to kind of spend some time talking about the the minions of the evil side, the minions of the dark side. So the that's kind of the focus. I am considering if I can find the original comic for Tag and Bink. I want to say that they were stormtroopers in the original, because I want to say that they were originally the two stormtroopers that were talking when Obi-Wan Kenobi is sneaking around on the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
I can't vouch for it. I've read a couple of the Tag and Bink comics, which are spoofs of, you know, events in Star Wars from the perspective of two completely useless characters. And I know that there are some serious moments in those comics, but there's also some funny ones. So I want to do that maybe too, but anyway, so that's kind of the direction I want to go for the summer. So ladies and gentlemen, be looking into your podcast feeds this summer for a focus on the stormtroopers of the Galactic Empire and the First Order.
Sweet.
Maybe even do some Star Wars Resistance episodes and talk about the First Order stormtroopers that appear in those. So that'd be something too. Or even go back and do Rebels. I mean, but I think I'll wait on Rebels. I'm expecting Disney Plus to release Rebels on their streaming service.
Yay!
So that might be the fall.
That's okay.
That's okay. I've actually thought about the fall too, and I'm thinking about maybe a fall of starships.
Oh, I like that. Because there's pretty unique spacecraft in Star Wars.
Yeah, there are. And I mean, you've got the X-Wing comics, you've got the X-Wing books, you've got books that are about the TIE fighters. Technically, the Death Star is a starship. So,
yes.
I mean, there's a lot of different directions we could go with that. So that's a consideration. There's some new canon books that are being released. There's actually a Marvel and Del Rey crossover. I think it's Del Rey. And it's called the Alphabet Squadron book, which is supposed to be a novel about a hodgepodge of U-Wings, A-Wings, B-Wings, Y-Wings, and so on and so forth, led by Harris and Dula. And they're fighting the Shadow Wing Squadron of the TIE Fighters.
Oh, cool.
So the book is about the Rebels, or the New Republic Starfighter Fleet, led by Harris and Dula. And then the comics that Marvel is releasing is from is the same timeline, but from the perspective of the Shadow Wing Squadron.
Oh, cool.
So it's a TIE Fighter kind of perspective, which is, I think, really cool. You know, that they're giving you both sides of the same story, which would be kind of cool. And that's all new canon material, but they did something very similar in the old canon with the X-Wing comics and the X-Wing books, X-Wing Rogue Squadron series. So there's a lot of really cool material out there that we've got coming up, and guys, you know, I'm just, as I've said many times, it's a great time to be a Star Wars fan. There's a lot of new material coming out. There's a lot of old material that's still really awesome to talk about. I have not forgotten about Lando's Luxurious Library. I'm still banking up some episodes of those, and hopefully maybe sometime around the middle of this Summer of Stormtroopers series, I'll start releasing my Lando's Luxurious Library books as well, or podcast episodes. And then hopefully we'll get a couple interviews too. So, I mean, we've got a lot on the horizon here. So listeners, just kind of sit back, strap in, and come along for the ride.
That was a good way to put that. I like that. That was some good way to phrase that. I like that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I made it up as I went, but it worked. Well, Landon, do you have anything else for us before we sign off tonight?
No, just just keep hanging in there, and you know, big shout out to Peter Mayhew and Chewbacca.
Yeah, amen. Big shout out to Chewbacca and Peter Mayhew. Listeners, you know, thank you for listening to us reflect and reminisce on Chewie a little bit, and then kind of talk about what's coming up next in Star Wars Ties. We hope you are gonna stick with us as we go. And let's see here, in honor of Chewie, what kind of blue milk are we gonna sign off with?
What would Chewie like?
I don't know.
I don't know what Wookiees really eat.
Pork.
Pork flavored.
Yeah.
Ew. Fried pork.
Fried pork flavored blue milk.
Ugh.
All right. Well, we'll go with that. That's a flavor that'll last only one time, I think. But anyway.
That's a unique
one. So, well, I mean, they've got like fried pickle peanuts now, so I mean, yeah. Why not, right?
Why not? Let's do it.
Why not? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for listening to this episode of Star Wars Ties. We hope that it helps you remember Peter Mayhew, the original Chewbacca, as we all take our time to reflect on him and of course, think and consider the loss for the Star Wars fandom as well as his family. So from here at Star Wars Ties, we wish you a happy May the 4th, and may the 4th be with you. And ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoy your fried port of flavored blue milk. May the 4th be with you. Pork. Did I say pork or pork? Fried pork of flavored blue milk. In case I said that wrong before, I'll go back in and edit it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
I don't know how long this will last, but we'll try it again.
We'll try to get what we can out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
All I know on Merriman is where Chick-fil-A is at, because we have to go there and eat whenever I'm with those. Like, let's go to that Chick-fil-A. It's a good one. Okay.
It's Chick-fil-A. Okay.
Like, it's the same everywhere, but okay.
Yeah. They're nice at all of them, not just one.
They are. They're very nice at all of them. I thought kindergarten would wear her out. No, it gives her more things to talk about.
Yeah, that's preschool's the same way with Emma one. It's like, how was your day? And then you find out about this kid who got in trouble, and this kid who poked somebody with a stick, and this kid who wasn't nice and spit water all over everything. And
oh, no.
This kid who stole her swing, and it's like, gracious. Did you have any fun? Yeah, this kid, we got to play hide and seek. And you know, 30 minutes later, you're like, I feel like I know all the gossip that goes on at this preschool. I teach high school, and there's lots of drama there, but you know what? It's just as bad at the preschool.
Poor network connection. There we go.
Yes. All the time. Don't get your hopes up. Sorry, Rob, didn't mean to insult you, but you have a terrible memory. But anyway, tonight's focus is really just Chewie.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad one.
Yeah, it is. But I figure, you know, we'll read a couple of... I've got the Twitter feed up. I'll read a couple of the comments from some of the Star Wars actors. And then you and I can just kind of spitball some stories about Chewbacca that are favorites, or Peter Mayhew, if you happen to have any. And then, you know, kind of talk about what we're going to do. I think we'll probably end the Spring of the Heroine series with this one, even though it's not about a heroine. And then we'll kind of talk about the summer and what's coming up next, and then call her an episode.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah, whenever Rob and I would do like shows about somebody who just passed, and like games or some, you know, other pop culture, it was just kind of like, you know, tell about your memories, talk about their highlights, highlight a few things in their life, and then call it a show, because, I mean,
you don't want to drag it out.
Right, you don't want to drag it out, but you don't want to, like, not...
You don't want to ignore it either. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't want to ignore it. Hello?
Hey, there you are. You just came through.
Hey!
I don't
know what's going on. My internet pissed me off.
Weird.
Yeah, anyway, so you were saying that you were looking at the Wikipedia page, and you had found something.
He got his...
A picture or something,
right? Yeah, he'd had his picture. You know, he worked as in a hospital, like you said, as an orderly.
Rebel Force Radio, the podcast that I've been listening to a lot for Star Wars stuff, did the day after the announcement, they released a tribute to him, very similar to what we did, about 20 or 30 minutes of just kind of talking and reflecting on Peter Mayhew. And then one of the co-hosts did a lot of interviews with Peter Mayhew.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually put a montage of all those interviews together in one, like, is about an hour or 45 minutes of the podcast.
Oh, nice.
And it was just him talking. And that's where I learned most of my stuff about it. I really recommend it, because you learn a lot about Peter and it's all older interviews, like from Celebration Japan, Celebration 4, 5, 6, you know, kind of the early 2000 era, before they announced Force Awakens. Yeah, the last thing that they talk about is the fact that Chewie was going to be in Clone Wars.
Oh, wow.
So, I recommend it. It's Rebel Force Radio. They'd have a Remembering Peter Mayhew episode, and it's worth listening to. All right, I'm going to go before this cuts off again.
All right.
Have a good night, Landon.
You too, man. See ya.
That nutty Star Wars bar. Can you forget all the creatures in there? And hey, Darth Vader in that black and evil mask. Did he scare you as much as he scared me? Ah! Star Wars! Those here in Bar Wars! My seventh winner up here! Star Wars! Yeah,